You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Or it could be Mobile Mornings, since just things get mixed up in the system on a Valentine's Day Thursday. I'd love to hear from you this hour, 343-0106, 343-0106. Rob Holbert's going to join us later in the hour. He's with Lanyap. It's Valentine's Day. We can talk about love is in the air, or the lack thereof. I saw something on Twitter the other day, very amusing. Your worst first date experience or worst date experience. Some of the stories had me absolutely rolling. Situations where, I mean, people had, they were on the first date when their date was arrested because they were on the lam. They were like out on date. People that went on first dates only to be sat at a table next to that person's actual significant other. So you got a worst date story. We'll take those on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. Also, a couple things just hinging off what was just reported with Westwood One News. Number one, Belgian students skipping school to protest climate change. Now, okay, it's been a while since I've been a, well, I've never been a Belgian student, but since I was a high school student, and I don't buy it. Now, I'm not saying that this is a 12,000 Belgian students skipping school for climate change protest. All right, you want to get my attention here. Number one, if you don't think there's something, now this is another debate we can have. There is climate change going on. There's always climate change going on. I think that's valid. If you say there's, I mean, you can look at, there's warming temperatures globally. I think the big question is what causes it, and is it something that we've done and we could even avert or change? I think that's where the real debate is. But you have 12,500 students gathering in Brussels today, skipping school for the second week in a row. To march for climate change. Okay. I would just point this out. If you want to get my attention, Belgian students, do that on a Saturday or a Sunday. I'm not just because I think you need to be in school, getting your education, but you would get, if you could get teenagers, and these kids are like 15, 16, 17 years old there that are part of this organized march about climate change. If they did it on a Friday evening, Saturday during the day. In other words, if they did it when they could be doing something else fun, then you get my... You following me? I mean, whether I agree with their signage here and what they're talking about with their march, if you want me to pay attention, if you're skipping school, if it's during the week, I'm not impressed. I mean, you would... Remember, take yourself in the time machine. I know there's some goody-two-shoes among us that would never do it, but if there was any semi cover given to you skipping school because you said, you know, when mom and dad would snatch you up after finding out about this, snatch you up by the collar, you could say, well, listen, this issue was very important to me. That's why I was skipping school. You probably would have gone for it. You'd have gone for it not to skip school. So, hey, Belgian students, the 12,000 of you with your climate protest, do it when you got something. If you did it when you had something else that you could be doing that was fun, you'd have my attention a lot more than skipping during the week. If you're skipping school to go, I mean, you could probably come up with any protest, and if you said, hey, kids, you know, you can skip school and everybody's going to give you cover here on this because you're doing it for climate change, you'll be fine. They would skip whatever the thing is. You could come up with any idea. And they'd say, yeah, I'm in. I'm gonna skip school with you to protest. What do you got? You got something to protest? I'll protest it as long as I can skip school. All right. Also, holy cow. What will it be like? We'll mention him just briefly here. I don't want to get into a full discussion of Alex Jones. If y'all have been listening for a long time, I am a detractor of Alex Jones, although the last incarnation was me defending Alex Jones's right to be on social media and kind of the hypocrisy of Alex Jones being banned from platforms where commentary that's even more absurd and obscene is tolerated. So, I mean, I've championed Alex Jones having the right to speak. I don't even think it's a deep conspiracy of his conspiracies. I think here's the thing that makes people angry is I think he doesn't believe any of it. I think he's picked it up because he knows there's an audience for it, and he runs with it. That's what I think. I think he is a caricature. He's a character. But he's, with his Sandy Hook stuff, he's now being sued by families, Sandy Hook families, and will be deposed. What is that going to be like? What is the deposition? I mean, what if Alex Jones is testifying in court? What is that going to be like? Yes, I will be watching, waiting for more on that. And also, I want to ask this, speaking of Sandy Hook, and of course, we think about today, 1 year since the mass shooting at Parkland, down in South Florida, Parkland High School, at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, who is, by the way, her name, she's real big in protecting the Everglades. Pretty neat person, actually. But they're in Parkland, Florida, and the shooting a year ago. Okay, and you have the anniversary. I hate to use the word, but it is accurate. The anniversary of that mass shooting. 14 students, 3 faculty members, 17 shot there. A lot of people are asking, well, what's been done since then? And I would also insert into this, while it is so tragic that 14 students and 3 faculty members were killed there, those numbers, 17 dead, it's like every 2 days in this country, 3 days. And it's not with, you know, great news coverage that happens. It's not, you know, semi-automatic weapons or whatever, you know, mainstream media wants to talk about assault weapons. It's handguns, it's shotguns, it's whatever. It's violence that goes on day in and day out. It goes on in Chicago, where we pay attention to it, but it goes on in Mobile, goes on in New Orleans, goes on in Sacramento, goes on in Washington, D.C., goes on in New York, goes on in Charleston, goes on in Knoxville, goes on all over our country. And what do we do? And has something changed, or are we just paying more attention to it? The stats will show there's more of it. Now, there was more violence in the 80s during the crack epidemic. It was reduced in a lot of cities. And then it has started to slowly creep back. And if you've listened to any period of time, you know, hamstringing the Second Amendment and people's right to bear arms is not my solution. But I will say that we should talk about it as a nation, say, what can we do? What can we do to reduce? Now, if you ever think you're going to eliminate the gun violence, I think you're naive. But what can we do to reduce it? A year after that mass shooting, but in between the shooting there in Parkland, Florida, and today, there have been a whole bunch of other people shot and killed in our country. I'll talk about that. And also, will he or won't he? President has the budget deal. He could sign it, avert a partial government shutdown, and take a little bit less for the wall. What do you think? Should he sign it? We'll talk about it when we get back. A little more like it, right? 821 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Rob Holbert joins us about 8:35. Talk about what's up in the new Landy app. Also, a heads up here, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Well, I'm talking about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question this morning: should President Trump sign the agreement that provides about $1.4 billion worth of the $5.7 billion that he was asking for in border funding? Right now, 67% of y'all say don't sign it. What do you say? Love to hear from you. You can do that at 343-0106. Let us know, and plus vote in the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK on the front page of our website. Speaking of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, that's my buddy Trey. He and his crew doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, talk about the junk you can get rid of. I mean, stuff that's in your attic, stuff that's maybe you have instead of having a junk drawer in your house, you have a junk room. Maybe one time it used to be a guest room. Now it identifies as a junk room. Maybe it's junk outside your house. Maybe it's something that's at a storage unit or a house you got to get ready to sell, or maybe your office or a shop. Listen, you got junk you need it to go. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Another thing, too, that Trey does that I think is awesome. If you have something you've been holding on to, you'd like to donate to a charity, Like, you don't need it, but it's too big to move it. You don't know how to get it over there. He has done this in the past where he'll haul a big load of stuff. You go, okay, all that's junk. And then you say, hey, you know, can you carry this thing over to whatever charity that you're going to donate it to? And he does that for folks. And he's a local guy and loves local charities, and he does great work. So if that's part of what you need done at your place, give him a call. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment time, which I love. It is not a spectrum of time. It's an actual day and an actual time, and he'll be there. We'll quote your price. You agree on the price, then move on. Get it done. All right? It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Check them out today. 823, we'll grab some phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also getting some messages here from horrible first dates. I saw this, I mean, today being Valentine's Day, but the other day on Twitter, somebody had put up a question, like, your worst first date. I had people that were posting up that they were on their first date with somebody, and then their date got picked up by the law because they were on the run from the law during the date. It's pretty bad. All right, to the phones, and Tom is in Fairhope, and he's first up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, but the president don't need to sign this bill. He's not getting what he wants, not even close to what he wants.
So the people that have said, hey, he's getting 55 miles of wall, that's a lot, that's a win, he should sign it, you don't buy it?
No, I don't buy that. I mean, look at all the stuff they've added to it, and the bill, too. What is it, 100? How many pages? Yep. 1,200 pages?
1,200 pages. How about that? How about Washington? That's how Washington does stuff.
I mean, they've got to learn to quit spending. We got a $22 trillion debt we're facing. They don't even want to talk about it, and they want to talk about keeping Trump from getting his little fence.
Right, that's the point, too. You've picked that out, Tom, just like I have, that don't, you know, if y'all want to talk about the politics of it and you just think it's wrong or whatever, that's one thing. But don't try to tell me you care about the money. I wish it was something, but $5.7 billion doesn't mean a hill of beans anymore in Washington.
Nah, it don't mean it. All it is about politics. And Trump, if I'm telling you, he's going to lose some of his base if he keeps caving into these people. I'm going to support him. I love him. I think he's doing a great job. But he's going to have to start standing up more than he is.
You want him not to sign this, even if it means partial government shutdown
on
Friday?
Absolutely. Let him try. Let him do the other. Do the emergency.
All right.
Let him do that.
Very good, Tom. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Rima next in Mobile. Hey, Rima.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Listen, he doesn't need to sign that. He needs to go public and put the blame on the Democrats where it belongs and let them squirm, because they've been making him squirm. He needs to say, nope, we're not going that direction.
How do you think he puts it on, you know, the mainstream media, listen, no matter what, will blame if he signs it. That's what somebody said the other day. Well, he'll get some good press and he'll be called presidential. Come on, if he signs it or if he doesn't sign it, he's not going to get.
If he signs it, he's going to say, everybody's going to say he lost. He folded.
Right. Okay? And if he doesn't sign it, they're going to critique him as well.
Yeah. I mean, he can't do anything to make the Dems happy, no matter what. So he might as well go ahead and just shut down the government or do the emergency allocation, whatever it was they were going to do.
Yeah, the emergency
whatever,
action.
But he does not need to sign this bill, because they're going to be pushing all kinds of crap on him otherwise.
Well, there you go. Rima, I appreciate it. Thank you, and happy Valentine's Day. The worry, and I keep going back to this, and sometimes you have to be able to take, I think a lot of times, and probably more than not, you need to take your politics out of things when it comes to the executive branch. Because I would be a hypocrite if I sat through, how many times did I go, oh gosh, look at this executive action, look at this increase of the beachhead of executive power during the Obama administration. I also said it during the Bush administration. But you got to say it in this case too. It doesn't mean you don't want the wall, doesn't mean you don't support President Trump, but we do have to keep the separation, keep the co-equal branches of government, keep things in check. Now, is the blame is, I would say the most blame in this whole thing, number one in blame in overreach is the legislative branch. Second is the executive, third is the judicial. Although the judicial is kind of a, what do they call it with people when they're having, like, they're drinking or enabler. Yeah, enabler of the legislative branch. As the legislative branch has not done its job and has kicked its responsibility to the judicial branch or the executive branch, this is what you get. You can support what the president's doing, but you understand those of us that push back against the emergency action, because I hate to establish new beachheads to have... I mean, we have checks and balances for a reason. It's supposed to be... When we change laws, when we do things like that, it's supposed to go through the legislature. Now, the problem is we're in a system where the legislature doesn't want or can't get things done. So they get kicked out for social issues to the judicial branch and sometimes the whole way to the Supreme Court. And on other issues, they get kicked to the executive branch. But the founders did not plan it that way. But it's what it's become. All right, back to the phones. And let's go to Celeste in Daphne. Hey, Celeste.
Hey, Sean. Happy Heart Day.
Happy Heart Day to you, too.
As far as the government's already, I know we saw it with President Obama where he did the executive actions and he allocated funds, and I kind of feel like we've already opened the doors and that it's going to happen whether that's the way the Constitution was set up or not. But I kind of feel like President Trump should do both. Sign the budget, keep the government open, keep everybody getting paid, keep our National Weather Service getting paid and our Coast Guard and all that, and then go ahead and do his presidential order, emergency action, whatever you want to call it, and do the rest.
And I get what you're saying. You're making a pragmatic argument, which is a fair one, versus my, you know, pie in the sky idealistic one, that it's already been done. These executive actions have been done by past presidents. But you do understand, I'm always trying to put brakes on it, no matter who's in office, because I want...
You are a constitutionalist, and that is what we love you for, and that is what we listen to you for.
Well, thank you, Celeste. I appreciate it. I'll be a constitutionalist that's sitting out there by the side of the road holding a tin cup going, no, nobody listens to me, but donate some money here. Thanks for the call. Phone lines open 343-0106. We will see what the president does, because I mean it's a day and a half, 2 days here till this gets done. But like was mentioned earlier, the curveballs that have been thrown in this, it's not just a spending bill. Like you'd say, okay, well there's going to be more than a page in the spending bill. Sure, but there's pages in there. I think the president said he wants to avoid, or maybe was it the president or was it Sarah Sanders who was saying it, that No, I think the president did, that he would avoid any landmines in it. In other words, in the government ease these documents are written in, he wants to make sure he's not signing on for something he didn't intend to. One of those things is the idea of back pay for thousands of federal contractors. Listen to the words. Make sure you pay attention. Not government workers. They're going to get paid. That was already done. They're going to get paid. All right? They're going to get paid. They're fine. These are private entities that contracted with the federal government. Wants them to get paid for not working. That was put in by the Democrats into this bill. Now, the president says he's not signing that. And hopefully they get that stricken for the document today. All right, keep our eyes on that. And we'll talk to Rob Hulbert. He's with Lanyap, and he's on next right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. And y'all say hello to my buddy Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. Hey, happy Valentine's Day to you, man.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I like to throw the M in there. I like to make it Valentine's instead of Valentine's.
So this will be no surprise, and I've seen on Twitter people showing pictures of guys at grocery stores in the card aisles and all that stuff this morning. But
yeah.
I had to go to the pharmacy late last night. It was they were closing at 10, so it was like 9:40 or something like that. And nobody was answering there at the drive-thru, so I go in, and I had to walk through the middle aisle at this pharmacy where they have all the seasonal, it's Halloween, it's whatever, so, you know, they, and so they had their Valentine's Day candy, it's the aisle next to the cards, and it looked like, remember the pictures when we were boys of the fall of the Soviet Union, when they would show the inside of the grocery stores, there'd be one thing, and then the wrapping from one other item, and everything else was empty on an aisle? That's what it looked like last night.
My kids always end up getting they're like, these are the weirdest candies for Valentine's Day. And I'm like, well, you know, it was all that was left.
Here's how I'm losing my mind, and the kids aren't listening now. They should be in school. So the other day, I mean, it's actually a couple weeks ago, I'm in, and I go, I said, I'm going to get ahead of things. I'm going to buy some Valentine's Day candy for the kids. So I bought some Valentine's Day things, peppermint, whatever they are, peppermint patty things that are heart-shaped or whatever. Then I pick up, I see the Cadbury cream eggs. And because they're sitting next to the Valentine's Day stuff, and maybe I'd had a long week, Rob, I piled a basket full of Cadbury cream eggs to give them on Valentine's Day till I got home.
For Easter too. Now.
Until I got home and I went, those are that's the Easter stuff, Sullivan. Yeah. I was so proud of myself that I had done it early. I didn't realize how early because I bought out the Cadbury cream eggs. So
you're in good shape. Yeah, you're really you're way ahead of the game. God, man, that's. I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah, I've lost my way for sure. All right,
I really
want to talk about the new Lanyap out, and specifically your Damn the Torpedoes column, a little pre-filed fun on the way. What is this about?
Well, we're just running through a few pre-filed bills. You know, there's a few of them there. Of course, for the legislative session, you've got some pre-filed stuff coming. And, just looking through a couple that are interesting. There's a couple that certainly have the potential to create a firestorm. There's one that, a bill that will allow the teaching of elective Bible study courses in grades 6 through 12. I can only already hear the screaming and hollering over that one, if it gets any kind of traction. That's the question. One that really kind of makes me the happiest is a bill to really hammer the cell phone, the callers, the telemarketing that you're constantly getting with the spoofed numbers,
mm-hmm.
the spoofed local numbers. This would make it it would be a violation of the Deceptive Trades Practices Act.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, it kind of dumps it over on the district attorney to go after them. But at least it's that next time that Bill calls and tells you that there's something wrong with your mortgage, you could fire back and say, you're violating the Deceptive Trade Act.
That'll stop them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm raising my hand back here in the back of the classroom because I want to ask this question. So with this, with the spoofing of the numbers, we see it. Heck, they've gotten it to where people have even told me their own number has called their phone.
Really?
Spoofed.
I have not seen that.
And, most people say, what's going on? And they answer it. But if you make this a violation of the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, that only applies to legitimate companies trying this. I mean, they'll say this will stop the scammers. The scammers, by essence, are criminals, and they really don't care what the rule is. They're going to. It's like telling Yuri somewhere in Russia not to call you. I mean, Yuri doesn't care that there's a law against that.
No, it is already illegal, but there's already a mess going on here, and you're right. There's a lot of people involved in it that are not going to care one way or the other. But, hey, baby steps here. Can we do something on this thing? I mean, I've gotten six or seven of these a day.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Oh, I'm with you. And we're speaking of phones, too. You're talking about, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I want to get your take on it. Senator Jim McClendon's bill that is the no-touch cell phone.
Yes.
No-touchy.
Yeah, I brought that in. That's one of the things I mentioned here too. Is that you're not even allowed to touch your phone. And there's some things in there about like how many times you can push the button on your phone. It's okay to push it once, but more than once, that's a problem. So that's going to be a really tough one to to enforce. I think it's like that. You push that button twice or once.
These are ridiculous feel good bills. And listen, it's done. And I will. There'll be a bunch of people. They'll say, "You want people to be texting and driving?" I don't want people to be texting and driving. I also don't want them digging for a French fry under their seat. I don't want them turned around in the back seat, seeing what the kid has drawn with their crayons. I don't want people distracted. The problem is here. You said it in your Damn the Torpedoes column. How do you enforce this? I mean, this is beyond ridiculous. I can come up with 20 exceptions and reasons, and this is silly.
It's very difficult, and already texting and driving is already illegal, and that's not stopping it. Every car in America now has a computer screen in there, which I find honestly the most distracting thing in the vehicle. You've got to push the button to, when you get in the car and turn it on, and you're driving down the streets, and you got to push this button to confirm that you're signing away your legal rights, that you understand that this thing is to be used this way
right.
every single time. It is very distracting to me.
And you know, this is the problem when you have it, and essentially it ends up being people that are behind the times technology-wise that are elected to office quite often, not always. And, you know, they're going to be, and you talked about Google Maps in your piece, as I did when this first came out. I said, give me a break with the Google Maps thing. But he says, okay, well, you can't use your phone like that. Well, what if somebody, I mean, I hate to just pick at this, but what about an iPod? That's not their phone. If somebody doesn't have, and they're on the iPod trying to back up to hear what Dan Carlin had to say about the fall of Nanjing, you know, and get the actual number there. They're distracted, but they're not on their cell phone.
Yeah, I think that I think it may reach out for some different devices. It may encompass a few different devices, if I remember correctly when I read it. But you know, when you talk about it being, you know, people that are behind the times from that standpoint, I was wondering why it was also a violation to use your typewriter in the car. it is one of those things. I mean, I understand that exactly what you said. People are going to say texting driving is horrible, and it is.
You shouldn't do anything.
A lot of people are guilty of violating that from time to time, or, you know, even talking on the phone sometimes seems very distracting. But this is one of those bills that I just look at and go, how in the world can possibly enforce these things? It's an enforcement nightmare from that standpoint.
Yeah, I do wonder, and I don't know this for sure, but I do wonder if these specific carve-outs, like texting while driving and others, when they're beyond, you know, you have the umbrella law, which I imagine is distracted driving, but you go specifically for texting or all these other things. I wonder if this is not in deference to insurance companies to be able to have specific codified law that they can deny a claim on or do something with.
Well, you know, that's certainly one way to look at it, and certainly a conspiratorial way to look at it, Sean.
Thank you.
I know that's good for you, and I like that. That's good. But, yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, it certainly helps that, you know, say, well, you know, this is illegal. You did these things. You touched that button twice. We can prove it. It is a difficulty. I mean, I know that there's a lot of this going on. It's just the question is, how do you make it stop?
I don't know that. I want it to stop, too. In my heart, I mean, I want it to stop. And I don't pick at these laws because I want people distracted. I pick at them because we need to just have a concerted effort to pay attention when we're driving. Whether you're, you know, I've seen people putting on makeup as they're going down the road.
Has there ever been anything that's more than that, more distracted driving than the putting on makeup in the car? I mean, I've your entire life watched people driving behind you, looking into the rearview mirror, applying mascara, and barreling down the road at 80 miles an hour. I mean, like, that is the most unbelievable thing. We need a mascara law in there, too.
Well, there, and, you know, I mean, I have been guilty in the past. I think I'm outside the statute of limitations, but I went diving for an onion ring covered with ketchup that I dropped onto the floorboard before, too, so I've been distracted. Listen, can you hold on through the break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll come right back. Coming back, more with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Talk about the new issue of Lanyap out now. Also run through a couple more of these pre-filed bills. If you didn't catch it yesterday, Midday Mobile State Senator Chris Elliott was on the show, and we were talking about one of his pre-filed bills. This one dealing with municipalities and counties and police fire jurisdictions, planning jurisdictions, and maybe a push to do away with that as well. I can't wait to hear what Rob has to say about that. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for the pictures. You know, now y'all are distracted drivers by taking pictures of all the things going on in your vehicle that aren't texting that are also distracting. So I've sent all your contact info from the text line to local authorities. So be prepared. And Rob, yeah, they're looking. They got screens going on here, and just like you said, your car screen. I got to agree with you, wanting you to say okay, yes, no.
Yeah.
I mean, enough already. I mean, that, why is that not distracting?
I can't even get my radio to work until I engage with my car screen. You know, so it's just like I just want the radio on. You know, but I was going to say before the break that the most distracting thing of all time, in my opinion, was the Nachos Del Grande.
How is that? More items?
Well, you have to drive with your knee and eat with both hands. It's I was actually yelled at by a police officer one time for eating a Nachos Bel Grande. So it is that's a distracted driving problem.
Hey, friends in law enforcement, would you hit me up on the text line or send me an email if you saw Rob Hulbert riding down the road, if he's eating Nachos Bel Grande, if that's the worst he can be doing, like, what's the spectrum? Nachos Bel Grande, the worst, maybe a single cheeseburger from McDonald's, pretty compact, that's probably the safest thing to eat while driving,
I would think. Yeah,
anything with toppings.
I know another individual who actually had a maybe ran a person off the road eating Nachos Bel Grande. So, I mean, it's not just me.
Well, should we get somebody to pre-file a bill to eliminate?
There should be
Nachos Bel Grande.
It could be part of building the wall.
Get rid of Nachos Bel Grande.
Get rid of Nacho Bel Grande.
Traffic hazard. All right, other pre-file bills. You have one here and talk about a bill to legalize hemp-derived CBD oil in Alabama. Isn't it legal?
Not one yet.
Yeah, what's the?
I think that they need one, and I think that's one of the issues that after Steve Marshall came out recently and said, look, that CBD oil in Alabama is illegal, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard because there are lots and lots of people taking CBD oil, and for those of us who are not familiar with what CBD is, there are the cannabinoid plants like marijuana and hemp. There are two major components of that. You get THC, which is the compound that makes people high and is the recreational use, and there's CBD, which is the one that people have used in medical in medicines that help with seizures and anxieties and also
pain and all that. Listen, I've heard from more people in walks of life that would have never touched marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
You, and back to Attorney General Marshall, I'm trying to get him on the show to talk about this because the way I understood it, it was a nuance that he came out and said CBD oil was illegal except for this one, and it seemed like they had an inside track on, like an RFP for the state. They had produced a CBD oil that was tested certain ways, so it cleared, and then it seemed like he came back and retracted that. So I guess I was under the impression that it generally, unless you're home brewing it, it was legal. But you're saying it's still illegal in the state.
Well, I think there's still this confusion about some of it, and it's. I mean, I don't think anybody's being arrested for it, but you know how I am.
You know how I am. I can't take that. I can't take non-enforcement of a law. Either have the law and enforce it, or don't have the law.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. I think there's just a lot of confusion because nationally it is legal, and the FDA approved it. This past summer, but they approved it for one particular medication.
Mm-hmm.
And basically while approving it said, we need to enforce all this other type of CBD that's out there and make sure that, it's that you really just use this one. And, of course, that kind of the pharmaceutical company that makes that's pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
But because they can charge $1,500 for it versus, going down and getting $60 for the stuff. And I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of people using it at this point, and lots of people who have, really claimed to have had a lot of good effects from it. And so, when I talked to a couple of legislators last year when he brought it up, I talked to a couple of legislators and they were like, well, I thought we legalized that. And so, well, not according to him. And they're like, well, we thought we did, And so there was obviously some confusion just even among the legislators about what was legal, what's not. So, be good for them to clarify it, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to dig into this as well. All right, and before we run out of time, speaking of pre-filed bills, had State Senator Chris Elliott on yesterday to talk about this bill to change, 40 years of history here with police jurisdictions, fire jurisdictions, planning jurisdictions, so extraterritorial municipal jurisdictions.
Yeah, it's I don't know what to think about it at this point. It's
I think it's interesting for sure.
It is interesting, and it's rolling back. And what's kind of strange to me is that you see people. You would think in general that that the counties are going to hate this, the cities are going to like it, but because the cities then don't have to patrol different areas, but now certain cities are saying, you got some people in in Fairhope, the city councilman there opposes it. We're going to lose a bunch of money. There's different people who like it. It's kind of put some strange bedfellows together. So I don't know. I guess it just really depends on the situation for your city and how much money is going to be lost if you roll the police jurisdiction back versus how much effort and time and money you're spending to patrol that jurisdiction or to give them fire protection and those things.
There we go. Rob, remind folks they want to pick up a copy of the new Land app, how they do it.
You can check us out at about 1,500 different locations around Mobile and Baldwin County in our pink and purple boxes. You got the new issue has SWAT on the front of it, Mobile Police Department SWAT team. Really interesting story about what goes on with them inside in the SWAT unit. You can also check it out online at landyapmobile.com, or you can have it delivered to your home for just $1 a week.
All right, good stuff. And so the worst food, Nachos Bel Grande?
I think the most distracting, yes, I think it is. I think it is the cell phone of fast food.
Well said. I think we need to get some legislation to ban that in vehicles for sure. And I'll get somebody in Montgomery to get on that.
You're going to be fighting that Taco Bell lobby, my friend. Good luck.
Strong. Mr. Chalupa will be calling me directly. Thanks, Rob.
Your hero. All right.
We're out of here. I'll be back at noon today. By the way, Senator Doug Jones joins us in the 1 o'clock hour of Midday Mobile today. Lots to talk about with him. That happens at noon. Mike Gallagher is on next.